Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. This episode of Luke's English Podcast is sponsored by iTalki, a service that you can use to organise conversations and English lessons with native speakers online. It's a great way to work on your spoken fluency in English from the comfort of your own home. And the cool thing is that because you're a Lepster, because you listen to this podcast, when you buy some lessons on iTalki, they will give you a voucher worth about $10 that you can use in the future. So if you really want to fast track your English to fluency, you can do it by talking to native speakers on iTalki. Just go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. And if you want to get that $10 voucher, you need to go through my link, teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. Now, here is your new episode. So, will you start the jingle, please?
Prepare jingle.
Jingle prepared.
Initiate jingle initiation sequence.
Initial jingle initiation sequence initiated.
Jingle incoming in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Initiate jingle. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everyone. In this episode, I am joined by podcast pals, Amber and Paul, and we are playing the Lying Game again. But this is a special version because this is the interactive Lying Game. I know, it's exciting. Try to control yourself if you can. Just in case you don't know what the Lying Game is, and that's the Lying Game, not the Lion Game, okay? There are no big cats involved in this. No, it's the Lying Game. Just in case you don't know what the Lying Game is, then let me bring you up to speed, all right? Let me just kind of explain. Now, where shall I start? Okay, so this is the universe, okay? And in the universe, there's like a tiny little galaxy just there, just to the side there. And in that tiny galaxy, there's an even tinier solar system with this little sun, a little speck of light, you see it? And spinning around it, there are these little bits of dust called planets. And we're on one of them. It's called Earth, okay? And on Earth, there's this... Basically, there's like this thing called the internet. And that's just used for watching cat videos, sharing selfies, and listening to this podcast. And for security services to be able to spy on people's internet usage to see exactly which cats are being watched and what's contained in those selfies and then what kind of stuff is being talked about on this podcast, okay? That's pretty much all you need to know, I think, regarding context. Okay, so there you go. Do you feel up to speed now? Oh yeah, okay, the Lying Game, that's right. So anyway, the Lying Game is a speaking game which I play in my English classes sometimes because, you know, I'm an English teacher. Did I need to explain that too? Probably not. Anyway, so, okay, I'll just get on with it. So, I also play the Lying Game on the podcast sometimes when I'm joined by my friends Amber and Paul. So here are the rules of the Lying Game. So first of all, someone makes a statement about themselves. It can be anything really, but usually it's a statement about something they did in the past. And the statement can either be true or a lie. Okay, so the speaker decides if it's true or if it's a lie. Then the other competitors have to decide if they think it's true or if it's a lie. But before doing that, they have to ask loads of questions in order to investigate the statement fully. And the speaker has to respond with the relevant answers. Okay, the aim for the other competitors is to work out if the statement is true or not. And the aim for the speaker is to try to fool the others into getting the wrong answer. So after loads of questions have been asked, The competitors then say if they think the statement is true or a lie, and they justify their decisions. Then at the end, the speaker reveals if it's true or not, and everyone goes crazy and it's exciting. Oh, wow, wow, that kind of thing. Then any competitors who guess correctly get 1 point. So if you get it right, you get 1 point. And the speaker gets a point for any wrong answers. Okay, so when three people play, the speaker can get a maximum of 2 points per round if both people get it wrong, and the competitors can get a maximum of 1 point if they get it right, if they guess correctly. And everyone gets a turn at being the speaker. Okay, right, so there's the explanation of the rules. That might sound unnecessarily complicated, but basically, to keep it simple, all you have to do is just listen to us play the game and try to guess if we're lying or if we're telling the truth. You can then make your judgments by completing a simple poll on the page for this episode. And no, you don't need to give your email address or sign in or anything like that. It's all just open and free. Okay, so the scores so far. So what are the scores so far? To be honest, I can't really work out the scores so far. It's too complicated. But the main thing is that I think that Amber is the reigning champion so far because she's probably the cleverest member of the team. So she's won, I think, more often than Paul or me. I am in second place, I think, because I'm okay at the game, but my weakness seems to be that I can't lie. And I'm too gullible and trusting because I always just believe that people are telling the truth. So I lose points sometimes because of that. And Paul is unfortunately in third place, and he always seems to lose these games because he tries to be too tactical. He always tries to focus on using strategies just to prevent Amber from winning, it seems. And those strategies always seem to backfire in his face, and he ends up coming third almost every time. So, you know, Paul really should stop using these clever strategies or not so clever strategies. He should probably just trust his instincts like a Jedi. So let's see if Paul can finally win a game. Now, since we're playing the interactive lying game, that's slightly different. Let me go through the rules for the interactive lying game, and it's not going to be too complicated or long-winded. Here we go. So here are the rules for this version. In episode 318, Paul suggested that we do an interactive version of this game in which listeners send in their questions in response to our statements. So we told you our statements, and then you, the Lepsters, wrote lots of questions on the page for episode 318. And in this episode, we're going to ask each other those questions. You have to listen carefully and decide if we're telling the truth or if we're telling lies. Check out the page for this episode and you'll find interactive polls where you can choose true or lie for each person. Okay, this is the interactive element in practice here. So please vote whether you think each of us is lying or telling the truth. Then the next time we get together, we will count all of your votes. And the winning person out of the three of us is the one who has fooled the most people around the world. So it's quite simple, really. Just listen to the episode. Decide if you think that we're telling truths. No, if we're telling the truth or if we're telling lies. And then go to the page on the website for this episode and vote using the online polls. And then later on, we will reveal the truth. We'll count the scores and we'll find out the winner. Will it be Amber again? Will it be me in the middle? Will Paul lose or will Paul somehow win this one? We'll find out later on. So, those statements again. The statements that we had at the end of episode 318. Do you remember those statements from Amber, Paul and me? Here's a reminder. So Amber said this statement. She said, I helped in the making of the film Something's Got to Give. All right. I helped in the making of the film Something's Got to Give. So that was a Hollywood movie that stars Jack Nicholson, Diane Keaton, and Keanu Reeves. And apparently Amber helped them make that film in some way. Okay. My statement was that I accidentally knocked down a wall in a friend's house in Japan. I knocked down a wall in a friend's house in Japan. And Paul said this. He said, I used to get bullied by Guy Berryman, the bass player from Coldplay. So Paul apparently used to get bullied by Guy Berryman, the bass player from Coldplay. So lots of questions came in on the page for episode 318. So we've got a list of those questions, which we're going to ask each other. But what do you think? What do you reckon? Are these statements the honest truth or just a tissue of lies? Would you like to find out more? Are you ready to become a kind of psychological detective in this episode? You are? You are? Right, good. Right, so then without any further ado, let's find out, in fact, more as we listen to the podcast Pals, also known as the Truthful Trio, or maybe that should be the Treacherous Three. One thing's for sure, it's time for Triple Trouble with Amber, Paul, and me. Here we go.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers would be my choice. Yeah.
That's a magic number.
Three.
It is. It's the magic number.
Three.
Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born three, they stubbed me, and that's a magic number.
What does it all mean?
All right. If you want to know the real deal about the three, we're going to take it with triple trouble, y'all. We're going to beat you off the screen. Check it out.
Okay. Okay.
Mike, check 1, 2.
Okay.
Hello, hello, hello.
Okay.
Hello, hello.
Right. So let's play the interactive lying game. You guys ready for that?
Oh, yeah.
We're ready.
Okay. So I expect I've already done an introduction.
Yep.
In which I've stated the context.
Let's dive straight in.
So we're going to dive straight in. And I think that, Amber, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
And your statement was?
My statement was, I helped in the making of the film Something's Gotta Give.
Amber helped in the making of the film Something's Got to Give. Now, Paul, you've probably got questions arising. I ask you to hold on to those questions.
Will I be allowed to ask questions afterwards? I want to listeners, or is it just listeners asking questions?
I might let you have a couple, but let's stick with the listeners' questions first.
Okay.
I'm going to read the listeners' questions. Okay, so first of all, Antonio asked you, Amber, who asked you for help? So which person in the production team asked you for help in the making of this film? Were you an employee? Or was it a school exercise or something? Who asked you to help in the making of the film?
It was a member of the crew who asked me to help with the film.
A member of the crew. I think, Paul, what we can do is we can add like a little follow-up question.
Mm.
Right? So which member of the crew was it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You don't know the member of the crew that asked you to...
Do you remember his name?
No.
Do you remember his job title?
No.
Okay. Sort of honest, but suggests that it's not true, right?
Yeah. Straight off the bat, this isn't going very well.
It's obviously a lie. Yes. Okay, so that's Antonio. Molly says, Amber, how did you help in the making of the film Something's Got to Give? So how did you help? What did you do on the film set?
Okay, well, I think if I was going to write that question myself, I might have put help in inverted commas, to
Really?
Honest. Yeah, because... I helped. It was an important help, but it was a small help.
Oh, yeah?
They were filming a key scene at the Bistro, or the Café Colbert, which is in the second or the first arrondissement in Paris, just by the Ancien Bibliothèque. And it was a night scene. It's the middle of the night, literally. And they needed some power.
What kind of power? Like physical power?
Electricity power. Some electrical power.
So what, you were there to like, you brought some batteries?
Well, I was working in a bar, a wine bar, round the corner.
Is this the same wine bar that had your, that you told us that story earlier on about?
Yeah, same wine bar.
You know the wine bar she was working in, the wine bar, there was a really hot guy who wanted
sommelier.
To have sex with her.
Right, yeah, but that wasn't on the podcast.
No, it wasn't. I just realised that was at lunch.
There is no world outside what has happened on the podcast.
Yeah, sorry, I thought it was on the podcast. Calm down, Luke.
All right.
they asked if they could plug in some equipment.
I bet they did.
They did, and I said yes, I plugged it in for them.
So, Okay, so they were making the film. You were working in a bar.
Yeah.
And they, some person came and said, oh, can we plug in this equipment into the bar? And you were like, yeah, sure. and no, you were like, sorry, who are you? And the person said, Keanu Reeves is out there. And you were like, yeah, go take as much electricity as you like.
Just suck us dry.
Okay. What was the name of this film again?
Something's Gotta Give.
Starring Keanu Reeves, Jack Nicholson, and Diane Keaton.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. All right then. So that's how you helped. You provided electricity.
I provided, yeah, support from via electricity.
I see. Anonymous. Uh-huh. I get a lot of comments from Anonymous.
Yeah. Mm.
Anonymous said, Amber, why did you help?
Why did I help?
Yeah, so the person came in, the producer.
Because it was exciting. It was exciting.
What exactly was it that was exciting about
it? Well, because they're Hollywood, they're proper famous people. And it was just being filmed around the corner from where I was working. And it was exciting because, here's some details for you. It was filmed in 2003. Now, does anything stand out in 2003?
Well, I don't know, 2 years after 9/11?
No. There was the canicule. There was the heat wave in Paris.
Oh, that's right. There was a big heat wave.
Okay. And this was filmed at midnight, but this film takes place in winter.
Oh.
And they were all wearing winter clothes, even though it was around midnight. It was so hot.
Oh, my God.
That we could barely, I mean, we were so, so hot, and it was just amazing. And so watching them, they were acting like it was cold and sort of like tapping their hands together and sort of looking cold. And around them, all the crew and people watching, like me, were basically in bikinis.
Wow, so they really had to act.
They're actors.
Okay.
They were acting cold, so even though it wasn't.
And you agreed to help them by providing electricity just because it was fun. Because it's like, this is Hollywood.
Yes,
in
Paris. I felt like I was in the movie.
Okay. All right then. So let's move on to the next question, Paul. All right.
I've convinced Paul. I can tell.
Paul's no, I know. I've seen this pattern before.
Which pattern?
The pattern of it's either a friend thing. It's all this is true, but it's not you.
No, that's a cop out.
Yeah, but you did that with
You did that. No, that was not a. That was just no one.
No,
she created the cinema story.
I just went there once.
Completely from scratch, I think.
Yeah,
you
but no,
pretended
didn't.
To be in a car accident, and that was like your dad. That was a cop out.
Hoist, good though.
Hoist it was a good one. Bought
yeah. We were, yes. Yeah, I totally bought it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So now.
So Paul is sitting there skeptical.
Mm hmm.
He's so sceptical, he's staring over at us with those naive eyes of his.
He's looking a bit owlish.
My naive eyes.
Right, so here's the next question. This one comes from Christopher, who we've heard from before. And Christopher says, Amber, why aren't you on the staff list on IMDb.com? So clearly Christopher has checked the IMDb. He's gone out of his way to look for the IMDb Internet Movie Database for Something's Got to Give, and he's noticed your name is not on the list. Why not?
Well, there's two things. One, IMDb, you don't always get credit, even when you have worked on a film, because I have worked on films where I've not been credited.
Yeah.
And also, when you plug in some equipment, that's not really enough.
Right, Paul is taking a photograph.
That's often not enough to get on IMDb.
So just because, yeah, it was a low-level position, and therefore...
Well, I wasn't on the payroll, so I was working in a bar.
You didn't get paid, so that's it.
No, yeah.
Christopher, by the way, adds this little message, which I'm going to read out. He said, to listeners, please use the donate button sometimes. Luke really deserves it. He does an incredible job. You don't need to spend £100, but think about it. If everyone can just give £1 or £2... And that's the end of his point. And then he says, it's not fair to get everything for free. Just think how much money we spend every day for stupid things like smoking.
And coffee.
If you just send £1, you invest in Luke and in yourself. If you listen to this podcast, you really invest in yourself. Thank you, Christopher.
I would totally agree.
What a legend.
And I do that too. When I listen to a podcast that I enjoy, I do regularly donate.
Me too.
Pretty much, yeah, all the podcasts that I really like, I've donated to.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so Hiroshi. Writes this comment. He said, Amber, is your help reflected in the film? If so, how did you feel when you saw the film? So, for example, is it obvious? Was your help
sort of
obvious?
Well, let's just say they would have had no lighting or something important in that pivotal scene. And when I did watch the film, I felt pretty special.
So the fact that we can see the film And remember that film is a visual medium,
yep.
primarily. The fact that we can actually see the action taking place is thanks to you.
Totally.
Okay, so the answer is yes, Hiroshi. A couple of extra questions from Hiroshi. Do you think you can work as a filmmaker? So do you? I like the way he's written that. Depending, on, you could say that in different ways. So do you think you can work as a filmmaker?
No.
Or do you think you can work as a filmmaker? Sort of depends how you say it. You know. Anyway, do you think you could
as a director?
Just
making
a filmmaker.
Making films, probably not.
Okay, because you've got mainly bar experience, serving drinks there. That was
yeah. No, but I've worked on film and television, but I was more of a supporting role.
Okay.
In all of those
well,
roles.
Well, it's interesting you should say that because his next question is, do you want to be an actress? You are an actress, aren't you?
Yeah, I am currently working on an original piece.
Are you?
With James.
Oh, that's right. You're producing a... children's play.
Yeah.
A theatre piece with James Simpson, who has been on this podcast talking yeah. about Premiership football. So... Yes. So you are an actress.
The biggest football fan sort over of. Here can't even doesn't even know if it's Premiership or Premier League.
Well, I was going to say Premiership, and then I thought, is that the word that everyone's going to immediately understand? Yeah. Anyway. So.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Fine. So Levu QC, the person whose name I cannot pronounce,
okay.
has written, Amber, how did you help? You've already answered
I've
that.
I've asked that.
Were you in the movie?
No.
Did you get paid?
No.
If yes, how much? Well, you didn't get paid. How could you name some of the numbers? Sorry.
Members.
Could you name some of the members of the cast and tell us what the movie was about?
Well, no, I can't name any of the members of the of the cast apart from the three main people. But that yeah. kind of that's everyone in it, isn't it?
Pretty much.
And it was about Diane Keaton. Having it off with Keanu.
So Diane Keaton cheating with Keanu Reeves.
No, I don't know if she's cheating. I think it was her ex was...
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Fine. There we go. So, she knows the plot of the movie, but...
Barely.
You know, she could have just gone on the IMDb, couldn't she?
Yeah, of course.
It's a while
so
ago.
So Mariam has said to Amber, how did you get asked to participate? We've already
we've got that.
A man came into a bar and said, can we use your electricity? We're making a Hollywood movie.
It may have been a woman.
Or a woman, yes, because yep. women walk into bars too.
They do, yeah.
When and where was it? We know.
Done that, yeah.
In Paris. How were you chosen?
I was working that night.
Okay, how did you feel about it?
Amazing.
Excited.
Very excited.
Hollywood movie stars and stuff.
Felt like I was the star.
What did you do?
She has to be.
Plugged in the equipment.
Paul is whispering. Subliminal messages. Can you describe how the filming went, or at least the thing you were involved in?
We talked about that. They were acting cold, and it was not cold.
Right. Okay, looking forward to hearing from you, said aww. Mariam. Well, Mariam, your wait is over, because
mm-hmm.
you are now hearing from Amber. Yaron says... The questions for Amber are, how did you help in making this movie?
Done it.
Already
yeah.
answered. What was your role? We've already done explained.
Did they not read each other's questions?
No.
Okay.
I think that's Luke's job.
That's my job. But
Luke should have read the questions and like edited.
No, but what I mean was, what we should have set up in the setup to this whole game is that if you are going to comment, read the previous comments.
Well, that's Luke's, because that's Luke's job. Well, that's, we can't criticise the people participating.
I could write that, Paul. I could say that to my listeners. Please read all the comments. Or I could just say to you, please be patient.
Okay.
Is it very difficult to ask? So he says it's very difficult to ask more questions since the questions really depend on how this help was given.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. All right. Thank you, Yaron. Mark says, Amber, have you ever got in touch with the executive caster or core actors? So did you speak to the
no.
people in charge?
No.
All right. Antonio says, Amber, who asked you for help? We know.
We done it.
Says, Amber, your style and your voice are as beautiful as Marilyn's appearance was, but now I don't believe you.
Oh.
So she thinks...
no questions.
She's not even a question. She just doesn't believe you.
She just doesn't believe me.
She's
just, bam.
She just used that as a chance to say that Amber's got a beautiful voice. Yeah.
That is very nice.
Because that needs to be stated.
Thank you. I feel like that's such a boost.
every episode, it has to...
Don't take it away from me. It's my only compliment that I get.
It's a state.
I just need it.
That Amber's got a beautiful voice.
Okay.
Okay, so that's it then. Those are the questions. The questions are out.
Okay, then. I have answered those questions the best of my ability.
Now, Paul... you've probably got an idea, but let's not influence the listeners a bit. But well, what do you think?
Well, no, but I think you can give our opinions because we're not going to find out until next episode.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So my feeling that the only thing that's making me feel like some of it's true is the detail about it being cold or not being cold and them pretending to be cold. But the fact that you don't remember the person who showed up asking for it is a little bit I think I would remember that if it was for a Hollywood movie and somebody was like, oh, you know. To be fair, though, having said that, I think the person that contacted me for the film, that one of my previous lies or mm-hmm. true stories when I was on the film with Elijah Wood and John Hurt,
right,
I couldn't tell you the person that got in touch with me. Because it wasn't the director, it was a director's assistant or whatever. So maybe it is true.
Okay. I've got a question for you, Amber. Yep. So you said you saw the actors acting.
I did.
They had to pretend to be cold when in fact they were hot.
Yeah.
So did you see Jack Nicholson, Diane Keaton and Keanu Reeves?
Yes.
Oh. And was that nice?
Yes, because I don't think that celebrities exist. So when I actually...
They do.
When I see famous... Like, I never recognise a famous person on the street. And living in Paris, there must be some. But I just kind of think they only exist in television or in the cinema. Like, I can't conceive of them outside of that.
Yeah.
And so I'm, like, completely oblivious. And people are often saying, oh, my God, did you see... And I've never seen them. And so...
Did you see Paul Taylor on that metro station?
Exactly. Did you see PT? And so then when they were there, where they should be, you know, in front of the camera, it was like I'd gone into the screen. It was amazing.
Right. Okay. I think...
They're
Paul,
not my favourite
You and
actors.
I can give our judgment, but ultimately this is open for the listeners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, listeners, there will be a poll on the page for this episode. Not a poll. No, a poll. A poll. There will be a poll where you can say whether you think it's true or a lie. The results will be revealed in a future episode. It'll probably take us 4 months, but it will happen. So what do you think, Paul? Do you think this is true or a lie?
I think it's... I don't know. It's difficult. It's a difficult one.
I'm going to say... Now, I know that I just believe everything, but I still believe this one. I think this is true.
How are we scoring this, by the way?
1 point. Okay. So the number of people who get it wrong, so the number of people who vote the wrong choice on the page.
Minus the...
No, that is the number of points she gets.
Well, so unless it
doesn't matter how many people get it right.
Oh, the amount of people get it wrong. Yeah,
it's
sorry.
The number of people who get it wrong.
So you potentially get 2 points.
It's not some...
No, it could be like 300 points you could get. Because if 300 people say that you were right and you're wrong, or inversely...
Yeah. Okay, all right then.
It's all about the number of people who
get the wrong answer.
Get the wrong answer in their vote.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Okay?
Okay, that makes sense.
All right, then.
I think it's true because I believe everything that anyone ever says to me. Paul?
I'm going to say a lie.
Paul's gonna, is that a tactical choice?
It can't be a tactical because there's 300 people. That
honestly, do you think that it's true or not?
I think it could be true.
It could be true.
Unless you've changed the title of the film and the actors or whatever, it could be a different film. But I feel like that experience happened.
I haven't seen Something's Gotta Give.
No, nor have I.
And so I don't know if there is a scene in which they're all in Paris and it's cold.
Yeah.
And
it's all in Paris.
It's the whole film's in Paris.
Yeah.
I mean, we would look up more details if this was just the three of us and not the listeners.
Imagine if we watched the movie, Paul, on DVD.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where like they're outside a bar and you look through the window and there's Amber's face all excited. Like, there's Keanu Reeves. Imagine. Anyway, I think it's true. But
yeah, go on, I'll say it's true.
Paul says it's true too. But listeners, you decide, is it true or is it a lie? Go to the page for the episode. You'll find the poll, not the poll. No, I've done that already. And then you can tell us whether you think it's true or if it's a lie. I'm next.
Next, oh, okay. You ask Paul. Hold on.
Now, do you remember what my story thing was?
No, but I'm going to read it out, aren't I? No,
because it's up above. Okay. But my story was I accidentally knocked down a wall in a Japanese friend's apartment.
Okay.
I knocked the wall down. So you got some questions.
Oh, there. Yeah, your scrollage is the other way around. Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So Antonio says...
Hello, Antonio.
How did you do it? Great first question.
Yeah, that's probably the whole thing, isn't it, really?
Straight to it.
Straight to the point. So basically, I'd been at my friend's apartment with a few other people. We'd had the evening there. We'd had a few drinks. I'd been drinking Japanese beer. And then I was leaving, and I went to put my shoes on. And you know... I don't know if you do the same thing, but I always do this. When you put your shoes on, you kind of lift one foot up. to tie the laces. Mm-hmm. You know,
I
was doing that. I was like balancing on one foot while I was tying the laces of my other shoe, sort of putting the shoe on, balancing on one foot, and I lost my balance, and I went over, and I sort of went into the wall. Now I do this sometimes. I'm a bit clumsy. Sometimes I will knock into the wall and the wall will stop me and I'll lean on the wall and I'll finish putting my shoe on, you know? Mm. Mm-hmm. This time I went over, I hit the wall a little harder than I had first expected and the wall was not prepared. The wall wasn't ready and the wall gave way.
Was this one of these Japanese sliding doors that you see in films?
It wasn't a brick wall. No, certainly not. Okay. But it was a thin wall, a dividing wall in a Japanese flat, and it came away.
Okay.
Sort of round the top and the sides, it came away.
All right.
Okay.
Molly says...
Hello, Molly.
What was your friend's name? Is he or she? Is it he or she? Is he or she Japanese?
It's a she. She's Japanese. Her name is Kazumi.
Great.
All right. That was the owner of the wall. The poor owner of the
Anonymous wall. Says, Luke, what was the reaction of your friend when you did it?
She was like, hey, because she's Japanese. No, she was, it was complicated. I have to say it was awkward. It was very, very awkward. You know, it was uncomfortable and embarrassing. So she was, I think she was shocked. I mean, I just did damage her apartment quite badly. But she was very nice about it. And she was very sweet about it. And everything was all right, as far as I could tell. But I'm sure that she was really annoyed. But to me, she was very sweet and very nice about it. Mm. And it was like, you know, it was obviously like a really bad thing. But she made a lot of effort to make me feel like I wasn't a huge asshole, even though I was. So she was very nice about it.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to find out if somebody else has asked the question I want to ask.
Don't worry about that.
When you knocked down, what was on the other side of the wall?
A bedroom.
Okay, so it's through the bedroom. It wasn't like to the outdoor,
no,
to somebody
no,
else's.
It wasn't, like one of those main structural okay. walls. It was a dividing wall.
Okay. Great. So, Christopher.
Hello, Christopher.
First of all, this Lion Game series is a masterpiece. Luke, how much did you drink? How much had you drunk?
How much had I drunk? Yeah, because it's this amount that I drank before the accident.
Yeah, yeah. So
not how much I drank.
He's learning English pretty well.
How much had I drunk? I had drunk, I don't know. I can't really remember. It was probably about 6 cans of beer, I imagine.
Okay, so you were pretty wasted.
Yeah, well, small cans. But small cans. I was quite...
Asahi
or Kirin, I can't remember. Okay. Probably Asahi.
Okay.
Because that's what I used to drink in Japan. About, I think I remember buying about 6 little cans and I probably drank them all.
Okay. Yeah. Hiroshi says...
Hello, Hiroshi. He says...
Was that wall made out of paper or something like that?
Something like that. So...
I've got a question.
I'm not entirely sure, Hiroshi, what the wall was made of. I didn't spend a lot of time studying the material.
Because he says usually you can't knock down a wall.
That's right. You would imagine that usually you can't knock a wall down. But this was, as I said, one of those dividing walls. The material was, it wasn't strong. It wasn't like thick wood. It wasn't bricks and mortar. It was some sort of composite material, which was not designed to withstand the weight of a full-grown English man full of beer falling into it in a clumsy and careless manner.
Okay.
And so I'm not sure what it was made of, but it wasn't brick and stuff. It was just composite material.
Amber has a question.
Did you pay for it to get fixed or in any way help getting it fixed?
Well, I offered. And in the end, Kazumi said it was all right and that I didn't need to pay. She was, as I said, she was very, very sweet and wonderful about it. I didn't pay for the damage. I feel bad. I still do.
Is she still your friend?
Yeah. We're friends on Facebook.
Okay.
But I haven't actually directly spoken to her for a long time.
Hey.
But we are Hiroshi here. Were you injured?
I was. Only my pride was injured, Hiroshi. Okay.
Were you dancing in the room? No, you were... No. Because it was... He said, how can you knock down the wall? Mm. Kicked? Question mark. So we've established how you knocked down the wall.
I sort of went into it with my shoulder as I sort of fell over a little bit.
Okay. Les-Vieux-QC. I don't know how to pronounce that word.
I don't either.
Can you tell us how to pronounce phonetically your name, please? Les-Vieux-QC. That would be great. So that when you participate in further podcasts, we can correctly pronounce your name.
Amber, have you noticed that Paul is hosting the podcast at this moment.
He is, yeah.
You're listening to Paul's English podcast.
Okay, what kind of house was that?
It's just some Japanese apartment.
Just some... Was it old or new, traditional or modern?
Well, no, it wasn't traditional. It was quite modern. It wasn't like one of those mansion-style Japanese buildings.
Okay.
It was just a standard Japanese apartment in a building with lots of other apartments in it.
Okay.
Okay.
Was the wall made of wood or concrete? We've established we don't know.
Composite stuff, I don't know.
Yeah.
What was the relationship between you and that friend? Do you guys still keep in touch? I already asked that, sorry. She's a friend of mine.
She used to be a student at the school where I taught. We became friends with a bunch of other teachers, and so we used to hang out and... That's it.
Cool. How did he or she react?
We know.
Noticed you're wearing a Luke's English podcast t-shirt.
I was just like, hold on.
Doing an episode of Luke's English.
Saw it in the television. I was like,
yes, I got a little hot and I opened the buttons on my shirt and Paul and Amber have just realised I'm wearing a Luke's English podcast t-shirt.
Are they available to buy on your website?
Yeah, you can buy them on the website.
Great, buy them on the website. Miriam.
Shipping costs might be outrageously expensive.
Miriam says... Why were you in your friend's house?
We'd gone there. I'd been invited with some other friends, and so it was like a gang of like Japanese people, a gang of foreigners, and we were there having a drink and dinner. It was nice, fun time.
Okay, was it a traditional Japanese house with paper walls? We've talked about that. Can you describe the house?
Yeah, I've already described it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How did that happen? We know about that. What was your friend's reaction when you heard about that? Did you pay for the charges we found about that?
Yeah.
I can go on, but I think it's enough. Okay.
Okay,
thanks, Miriam.
Then. I think we've established.
Is that it?
Yeah. No, hold on. Yaron.
Hello, Yaron.
This interactive version is a good idea, Paul. Thanks very much, Yaron.
Well done, Yaron.
Although I'm kind of regretting it now because I don't think it's as good as the normal line.
What are you talking about? It's brilliant.
It's difficult because it's more difficult to find out if the person's lying or not.
But
anyway,
the listeners are engaged,
aren't
they?
I've got no question for you. I'm sure that you're telling the truth. Just kidding, .. My questions to you are, because you always tell the truth, I think, right. That's the in-joke.
I can't lie.
Yeah. What was the wall made of? Found out about that. Wow, bricks, autoclaved aerated concrete.
It wasn't autoclave aerated concrete, Yaron. It was some other kind of
Yaron's in the building industry, obviously. Exactly. How did it happen? We found out. Did you do it with bare hands or with some tool? Okay, we found out, like hammer, for example.
Shoulder. It was my shoulder.
Shoulder.
Mainly.
All right, Mark.
That's a tool.
Says, Luke, what about your location specifically in Japan? Does your friend's city have many wooden houses?
I was in the Kanagawa Prefecture area of Japan. Specifically, the town was Zushi. Which is just near the coast. Zushi.
Do they eat a lot of sushi there?
Very good. Very good, Paul. Yes, they do eat a lot of sushi in Zushi.
I can't believe I just said that.
No, actually, they do eat a lot of sushi in Zushi.
Is that why it's called sushi? Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay.
They do have a lot of traditional wooden houses in the area, but this particular one wasn't made of wood.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, Antonio, Luke, how did you put down the wall?
Done.
We've talked about that. E says, Luke, I think you're a way too well-behaved guy to knock anything down. But maybe you did it. That's it.
Okay.
Even though I slapped a teacher on the back of the head.
That's how I responded. So E said, I think you're too well-behaved to have knocked down a wall.
That was his last
And I responded by
story.
Saying, even though I slapped a teacher on the back of the head once.
Yeah.
In reference to
one
of the previous episodes.
Yep, good question. Good question. Nowadays, students are allowed to do nearly everything. This
is what E responded. She said, good question. Nowadays, never mind. Just skip it.
Move on.
So maybe the roof of all evil.
Keep going.
Anyway, season's greetings. Okay. The roof of all... Sorry. You've just copied and pasted. I see what you mean now. Okay. That's it. They're all the questions.
All the questions.
All right, that's it. So, guys, what are your thoughts?
It's true because Luke can't lie.
I mean, it sounds like a pretty convincing story, I'll admit.
Yeah. I think Luke is capable of knocking down a Japanese wall in his drunken state. It seems plausible. He was only telling us earlier how he's the biggest person in the whole of Japan when he was there. They've built walls to withstand Japanese drunkenness, not Anglo drunkenness.
Even when Japanese people are drunk, they still manage to...
They still keep their balance.
They do They don't go around smashing into walls. You know what?
They do get pretty drunk, though, the Japanese. They do. Like a drink. I like them for that.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to, just to go against the grain, I'm going to say it's a lie.
Okay,
and
I'm
I think it's because it's a it's an easy enough story to make up. The details of which he could tell us anything about the house and we'd go, all right, because I've never been to Japan. I don't know what really. So I think it's an easy enough story to be like, maybe it almost happened once. And then you've just invented the rest
of it. One thing I could add is that when I was in Japan, I always felt like I was that I was just too big and too clumsy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always aware that I could easily cause a lot of damage. And, you know, even stuff like furniture, I felt was like made out of material that could easily be broken. It felt like everything was made of pasta. You know, like dry pasta.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
brittle.
It felt like it was all brittle, and I was like a bull in a china shop, especially after a few drinks.
But you might feel like that, but not actually break things. Mm. I'm still going to go true.
I'm going to go false, just to
right. Go on and hand over the questions.
Well,
right.
Again, listeners, I would say it's over to you. So, do you think I'm lying? Did I really knock down a wall in a Japanese friend's apartment, or is that completely made up? What do you think? Go to the page for the episode, and you can vote in the poll.
Okay. How do I get down?
So, look, I'll show you.
Okay, hold on. I've gone a different route.
Now
okay.
We have questions for Paul.
Questions for Paul. So, Amber, remind us.
Amber is now the host. Go ahead.
Okay.
So, yeah, my story was that I got bullied by Guy Berryman in school.
Guy Berryman was the bass player in the now hugely internationally successful group Coldplay.
He still is, yeah.
He still is the bass player in Coldplay. So, the point is that you got bullied by him at school.
Yes.
Bullied.
Picked on.
Picked on. Like, yeah. He made fun of me.
Okay.
Okay. Hitoshi's got a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
How old were you?
How old was I? Between 12 and 30. Year 7. 12 to 13.
Okay.
But I would have just turned 12.
And how did he bully you?
How did he bully me? He called me names.
Okay.
Like what? Paul?
No, like Paul.
Really?
No, he called me Grease Lightning.
Grease Lightning?
Grease Lightning, yeah.
Grease Lightning.
Oh, come on.
And he would actually...
You need a bit more than that.
All right.
That's not bullying. That's quite cool.
A lot of people made fun of me at school and called me Grease Lightning.
What? Why Grease Lightning?
So when I was 12, my hero was David Beckham.
Yeah, fair enough.
He was, at the time, playing for Manchester United, and they were just doing like great. They'd won everything, and it was whatever. And he played for England, and
he had very nice hair.
Well, this is the thing. He didn't have very nice hair,
right?
Because now, when you look at it, if you look at photos of David Beckham from that period of time, he had curtains, like a center parting down the middle with curtains.
Yeah,
and because my hair isn't straight, like it's a bit curly and a bit thick.
Yeah.
Right.
I attempted to do this.
You wanted curtains.
I wanted curtains.
You greased it down.
I put an excessive amount of Brill Cream, who he was sponsoring for.
David Beckham was sponsoring Brill Cream.
Yeah, or they was. Yeah, he was doing the adverts for Brill Cream, and so I would
Brill
grease
cream
my
was
hair.
Sponsoring David Beckham.
I greased my hair into curtains, and I was called Grease Lightning.
Just
at
once
school.
Into those tragic curtains, or did you persist?
I think it was for like a good few months. So it felt like a years, but at the time, you know, when time goes.
So basically, in an effort to look like your idol, David Beckham, who was sponsored by Brill Cream, the hair product, you attempted to replicate his haircut by using said Brill Cream.
Yeah. But I needed a lot more of it
But
than
you needed lots, and you put a lot on because, you know, you were trying to.
Because your hair was curly.
Great. Mm. And it ended up with you looking very greasy.
Yeah.
And so they called
and
you
I
Grease.
I was a pretty fat kid as well.
Were you?
Yeah, like fat with curtains.
So Grease Lightning is the expression we use when you're talking about something that goes very fast. Like lightning goes very fast, but if it's got grease on it, it's going to go
even
faster.
Well, I think it was
faster.
From the
musical.
They would sing, they'd go Grease
Lightning.
As I walked into the locker room,
Grease Lightning, go
Grease Lightning.
Paul, I'm feeling very sensitive at the moment. I might well up here. I can't bear the idea of bullying. You know, I've got a child. It's a savage out there.
I mean, it led to a cut in my eye.
What?
At some stage.
What? We got into
they
a fight.
They threw things at you.
No, well, yeah, they threw things at me. Yeah.
What did they throw at you?
Rocks. You're asking the question.
Hold on. Okay. How did he bully you? Could you manage to stop it?
No. When you're in year 7 and you're starting secondary school, it's impossible to stop any bullying.
Oh my God, I can't
take
it.
Bullying is just a fact and you have to deal with it.
Yeah, that's true though, isn't it?
Go on.
Okay, would you like to see him now?
Guy Berryman, the bass player from Coldplay. Just establishing.
Yeah. That. Would I like to see? Yeah, I mean, it would be fun to see him again, yeah.
And what would you say to him if you did see him? I did correct that English, is that okay?
That's great.
Okay.
If you did see him now, what would you say to him?
Well, it depends on the context. I think if I saw him with his fellow band members, I don't know. I wouldn't bring it up because I'd be
too impressed. Yeah, that you were meeting Coldplay.
Yeah, if I was hanging out with Coldplay, I wouldn't be like, "Hey, guy, do you remember that time when we were at school and you were picking on me?"
Yeah. Mm.
So you wouldn't be tempted to be like, "Hey, guy, congratulations on all of the musical success and the best-selling albums and the worldwide fame."
Yeah.
Do you remember me?
Yeah.
Do the words "greased lightning" mean anything to you, guy? As you slam him over the head with a bass guitar?
Yeah. No. I would. I'd probably bring it. It depends how long I'd spend with him. If it was like a 10-minute thing, like backstage at one of their gigs, I wouldn't bring it up. But if we were out in the pub and having a chat, because me, like, if we were out in the pub having a chat with the four members of Coldplay,
because Guy Berryman's gonna be like, "Oh, never mind the sound check.
Yeah,
I want to go for a pint with Paul."
Yeah. Yeah. No. If I made it as a massive comedian, some stage.
Right.
And I could actually get in touch with him, then yeah, I'd talk about it, yeah.
Okay.
For a laugh, and we'd probably have a laugh, and
I'd say, "Hey, you bullied me," and he'd go, "Oh God, I did. But anyway, you're a hugely successful international comedian now, so everything's all right."
Yeah.
Okay then, Molly asks, "When did you get bullied by Guy Berryman?" We've answered that. Yep. Anonymous says, "Where were you educated? How old were you?" We've established. Did Guy Berryman know his bandmates at the time? So where were you educated?
What's the singer from Coldplay called again? Chris Martin.
Chris Martin.
Was Chris Martin involved?
No, they all met at university.
Okay. And so where were you educated? So where was this school?
The school was called Kent College in Canterbury.
Okay.
And so I was in year seven, and Guy's a few years older than me. I think he was in sixth form.
Well, you've just answered the next question, because our next person asks, who was the next person? Christopher. Good old Christopher. He says, "How old are you? You seem too young. Guy is 38, but he was a big kid picking on you."
Yeah, yeah.
Guy now is 38. How old are you now?
29.
God, that's about 9 years difference.
He might have redone a year.
Guy.
Yeah.
Maybe Guy stayed on a few years.
Yeah.
That's 9 years of difference, though. Was Guy a student at the school, or was he just hanging out there because he had nothing else to do? One of those older kids who hangs out at the school, like a weird older kid or something.
It's a good question, actually.
I'm not saying Guy Berryman is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we don't know that Christopher has got the right information.
No, I remember him being in sixth form. So, like the
sixth former bullying a new kid.
Well, because it might.
He's a.
My school, Canterbury, Kent College in Canterbury, is a...
He's a Kent.
It's a private school.
Absolutely.
You know, and private schools... First of all, I was called Taylor. All right, Taylor.
Mm.
And so there was like maybe 250 students in the whole school. Maybe that's a little bit more or less. Anyway, when you're year seven, like when you join secondary school, you get beaten up and picked on quite a bit by the older kids.
Can I just point something out about Christopher's question?
Yeah.
Christopher says that Guy Berryman is 38, and you said, well, maybe he's wrong. It seems to me that Christopher has been doing his research.
He has, hasn't he? He looked up IMDb.
I think Christopher has been Googling this stuff. He's checked out the age of Guy Berryman. He checked the IMDb for your name.
He did, didn't he?
And so Christopher seems to be very thorough.
He does.
So I think Christopher is probably right
about. But then if he was in the sixth form and Paul was a new kid, that does actually work out.
Okay. But would a sixth former really pick on a little kid? It seems a bit unfair.
In a school that was that small, yeah.
Oh, because it was really small. Because why would you be doing PE together?
Like the kids, there was, I can't remember what the day was called, but there was a day at the end of...
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
No, there was a day at the end of the whole school year where the older kids would then like burn the place, not burn
what?
The place down, but they would do like stuff
wreak
as
havoc.
They were leaving the school.
Oh, like the last day, the big
like
kids.
Like the egg and flower the big, stuff.
Yeah, they would,
So big
I
kids.
I can't remember what it was called. It was a specific name for this day.
Yeah,
big
yeah,
kids
yeah.
would have their last day and they would do crazy things like they would throw eggs at people. Yeah, yeah.
It was everyone did that.
Yeah,
yeah. But we got like basically the kids in the oldest form would make fun of the kids in the youngest form as they joined the school.
Oh, okay.
It, like almost like an initiation type of thing,
right? Like a rag week kind of thing.
Okay, like a like that bizutage. What do they call it in English?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, like there's a special word for it, but I can't remember.
An initiation,
Yeah,
you know, when like you join like a club in America, they have that special ceremony.
It's like they call it hazing.
Hazing, that's
the word in the United States, yeah, or an initiation.
Okay, QC, Le Vieux QC says, when did that happen to you? We know, and what happened? Okay, we know. Do you still know Berryman? No. You don't?
No.
Why did he bully you, you know? Was it because he was just an arsehole or something? He was definitely an arsehole, QC.
Or something, yeah.
Or something, in my opinion. Mariam, says, when and where was that? We know. How old are you? Got it. Was he in the band yet? No, because they met in university. Okay. How did he bully you? We know that. How did you react?
How did he react, Paul?
It hurt me, obviously. No, it didn't. It's not that it hurt me. Like, when you get bullied, it's
not nice.
No, it's not nice that people agree. For some reason, I didn't straight away cut my hair and change the thing because I think...
You toughed it out a bit.
You're like, screw you guys, I'm not going to change just for you.
No,
I'm
I think it was more...
But it's worse because if the next day you come in looking...
That's my thing.
Like, you know, they know that they've really, even if they're going to carry on criticizing him, even if you might realize it was a bit silly to grease down your curtains, you can't just you can't just give in to bullies straight away.
You can't let the bullies win.
Well, you let yourself open for more damage.
Yeah,
right. Good move, Paul. I think it was the right thing to do.
I mean, I don't remember how long it took me. Obviously, I changed it, but it was more annoying than anything. As I said, eventually I got like a... one of the things they would do on the last day, for some reason, we had we called it the quad, but it was basically like the locker rooms were all side by side. And so the older kids' locker room was the furthest away from the year seven's locker room. Where you would put like a room with lockers.
Yeah.
a locker room.
Very, very well done. Yeah.
Where you put your like books and bags and stuff in between lessons.
It's like where it's like a little metal box and you have a
so
key.
There were each year had a locker room.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And so, there was like a, so at some stage, basically, the year seven kids, we went out, and for some reason there was like a shop in the where you could buy cans of Coke and chocolate biscuits and stuff like that.
Tuck shop.
Mm. I was going to say tuck shop, but I presumed it was too private schooly for.
No, we had a tuck shop.
All right,
tuck
cool.
Shop.
So there was a tuck shop, and we would get stuff. And one afternoon, they decided to throw cans of full
Coke
and Sprite and stuff.
No.
Like on the floor initially, so that, because what you would do is you take the can, you throw it on the floor towards the other locker room, and it would
explode
as it was going, and then the sugar water would just go.
They would throw the cans of Coke into the room, and the cans of Coke would explode, sending Coke flying everywhere.
Yeah, like across the thing, and eventually, one came. We were all standing outside the locker room, and one can came in the middle. It kind of split the crowd, so we both like, you know, the two lines of people spread out as the can went in the middle.
It's like,
and then I turned around, and then a can hit me in the head.
Ooh.
And it cut me just in, part of my eyebrow goes the wrong way because of that.
I see.
And I,
but that wasn't
bleeding.
Just you, that was everyone they were bullying.
Oh yeah, they were, yeah, it wasn't specifically
so
aimed at me.
Paul has a scar on his face. It must be true.
Yeah.
Or no, is he Harry Potter?
He does look like Harry Potter.
I do. Hang on, is your name Harry? Anyway, yeah. Sorry.
Oh my God, is your name Harry Potter?
We went off on a tangent. What was the question?
Oh, Paul.
How did I react? Yeah, I mean, that particular case, was bloody, and I went to the San. It was called the sanatorium, I think. I guess not sanatorium.
Doctors.
The doctors.
You went to the nurse.
Yeah.
All right. Any more questions?
Yes. E says Paul. No, he says who the hell could have E. Says okay. E says, "Who the hell could have bullied you?" ? It definitely can't be true. And I would like to say, E, that does seem logical because Paul is such an exceptionally nice, funny, cool guy. It seems awful that anyone could bully him. But then, you know, people do use humour as a shield.
And he does have naive eyes, as we've already established. So
he was the new kid a lot. And if he was a fat boy with curtains, I might have bullied him myself.
Really? He's asking for it, wasn't he? Basically, he come in here in our school, looking all fat with greasy curtains. He's asking for it.
And French.
That's the voice of Guy Berryman.
Okay, then. So, and then Yaron says, what was your age? We know that. How many times?
Not 12 or 13. It happened again and again?
For the time that I had the curtains, it would be like I'd walk around and people would just be like, go grease lightning, go grease lightning. So yeah. It happens on multiple occasions, yeah.
Okay.
And then the last question.
I mean, it wasn't only him as well. It was everyone.
Yeah. Was you just chose him because he's famous.
Because he's famous. So I could have said my mate Chris Price bullied me when I was at school.
But it would have been fun.
Oh, you chose Guy Berryman. Yeah.
And that's why he's a comedian. You know, he chooses the funny angle. He's not just choosing his mate.
Yeah.
Anyway, how old were you? Got that? If this happened in school, would you like to give us the school name? You've given us the school name.
Kent College in Canterbury.
Kent being the county.
The county, but the school
and
is called Kent College.
That is the last of the questionies.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Can I just say, I remember reading something from Hiroshi that said something, he made a joke, and it was...
Oh, Hiroshi was here.
Hiroshi said, Paul, maybe you were misunderstanding his name as Guy Bullyman when you were young. Not Guy Berryman, Guy Bullyman.
That's on par with the Russian joke.
Pretty good, right?
That is good, though.
Guy Bullyman, not Guy. Especially if you'd say that with a Japanese accent as well, it works.
Yeah.
Guy Bullyman.
It's sort of similar.
Yeah.
I'm buying it.
I
can imagine Paul getting bullied for lots of reasons.
I can too.
Oh, thanks.
Because even though he says...
for lots of reasons.
No, because kids are cruel and everyone can get bullied.
Yeah.
I think Go Grease Lightning, in terms of bullying, I've heard worse.
Yeah.
So that seems about the right kind of, you know, level of bullying. It's not... They didn't call him a... Fucking you know, they weren't. It wasn't really mean.
Well, usually bullying. I mean, you know, there are different levels. Sometimes it's really genuinely serious and really bad. But often being picked on, the kids usually are fairly creative, aren't they, in the way that they pick on kids and go grease lightning.
They even used to do the eyes.
They used to do the dance moves as well with it.
They used to like go grease lightning.
Okay.
Beckham was big. Curtains were big.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a number of dodgy pictures with friends of your age with curtains. I remember boys with curtains.
So Beckham was big, curtains were big.
I don't
Paul
remember the Brill cream
as well at the time.
Yeah, Paul was big. I can
I've
imagine.
I've gone from one big to a different type of big, right?
That's right.
Oh, yes. So in terms of a bully, I think that kind of fits in. They'd have probably known Grease Lightning because it was sort of popular and they might have done it in school play.
For me, Amber, really, right, the point is that the bullying thing could easily be true, but was Guy Berryman or Guy Bullyman involved.
Yes, that's I don't like
sticking,
Coldplay.
That's the sticking. I don't like Coldplay much either.
So I want to tarnish their name with the mud of bullying.
So you want to suggest that they're that one of the members of this group
is just
least,
a low down, dirty bully.
No good, rotten, goddamn son of a bitch.
Even if he said it just in jest and his chant was picked up by the masses, I'm still happy to
they
tarnish
still
his
sing
name.
That at their concerts now.
Go Grease. Hello Tokyo, hello Rio de Janeiro. We'd like to do this song now as an encore for Mr. Paul Taylor. I know you're out there, Paul. Mm. 1, 2, 3, 4, go Grease Lightning. Does it bring back memories?
Horrible yeah. memories. I think I'm going to go with yes. And I think Paul's reaction didn't sort out the curtains straight away, but ultimately did because he knew deep down they were wrong.
And now look at him.
Stylish,
it was probably
very
when Beckham
stylish.
Changed his hair back to something else that I changed it. I don't remember.
Brill cream, though. Did Beckham get sponsored by Brill cream? It seems so old.
I don't remember. I think, to be honest, Beckham has been sponsored by
everything.
Person, every company under the sun.
Because I was a big fan of D. Beckham.
Were you?
I mean, just like a sort of visually.
This was way before he was
when he opened his mouth, it was a different
yeah,
story,
yeah, no, this
wasn't
is
it?
Way before all of that, though. This is when he was in his Manchester United days, which was before he was ever
when he was just a tot.
Yeah.
Well, he was always good looking. With his
Have
kit
you seen
off.
Some of his photos?
I don't know.
Let me
I'm
show
not looking
photo
at
of
his
him
face.
With his curtains and your
oh yes, great. I do remember those curtains.
Do you remember the
blonde curtains?
The David Beckham curtains.
Oh, I
great
love
moment here
him.
For the podcast where Paul.
Yeah, I mean, just type into
Amber
Google
a photograph.
Listeners, just type in David Beckham.
Curtains. I should just clarify that curtains...
You might be able to get curtains David Beckham on them.
Curtains is a form of hair style that was quite popular in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
The early to mid 90s. And the curtains was basically...
There we go.
Oh, I see. It was a parting down the... A centre, so the hair kind of comes down on both sides like a pair of curtains.
Ooh.
You know, and there we've just seen a picture
there's
of David
some more, there's
Beckham.
His blonde curtains.
They are
Ooh,
quite greasy,
they're pretty
aren't
greasy,
they?
Aren't they?
See?
Yeah.
And so I had to look like that. I didn't have to look like that. I chose to look like that. Let's.
But because of the curly nature of your hair,
that's more what I look like because my hair colour is more similar to that.
I see.
So I would walk around school like.
We're
that.
Looking at vintage Beckham here.
We're looking at pictures of Beckham from around 1994,
1995.
Still also, I think part of the reason why they look greasy is because he was obviously playing football and probably sweating, whereas I wasn't. I was just walking around school sweating because I was fat with curtains.
Okay. All right. So you think it's true. Then, do you?
I think it's true because I think that I could imagine everyone's been bullied a little bit, more or less. It's not the worst bullying. I can imagine him having curtains. It sort of fits in with the time. And I could imagine him being a bit tubby. Why not? We've all looked shit when we were younger.
Yeah. So you think it's true?
Yeah.
I think that the whole thing sounds really true. I'm just not sure about this weird random Guy Berryman, the bass player from Coldplay element. It seems such a random thing. And I don't think that Guy Berryman has been in the news recently. I don't know why Paul would immediately have that name in his mind. Unless he watched would he watch a video of Guy Berryman in the morning or something?
No, well, I mean, I'm a pretty big fan of Coldplay.
Ah.
So I like them. And
you would know the name of the bass player.
Bittersweet.
Well, yeah, but it's okay. So this all came about because my friend Chris LeBret, have you met Chris, the ginger head?
Have you got a gang of ginger friends?
I've got a lot of friends who are ginger who are called Chris, weirdly.
Weird.
I've got four of them. Anyway, he's one of my best friends, and I went to school with him from 12. And when I went to Madrid, I lost touch with him. But then when I came back, we ended up at the same college, which wasn't the same place. But anyway, it was when we were talking with Addy at some stage, and it came up in conversation that Guy Berryman was... This whole story came up at a pub.
Right. And you were like, hey, remember that Guy Berryman used to bully me?
No, because I'd forgotten that he was... You forget, like, you're like, okay, cool. You're like, I don't remember... You don't really remember older kids' names. But it came about in the conversation. Remember that time when you had curtains like David Beckham and we were getting bullied? You remember, like, Guy Berryman, the bassist from Coldplay, he used to be at our school. And I was like, what? And then we went, and he was like, he remembered the story better than I did.
So maybe he was just there. He didn't do the bullying.
He was party to the bullying, though, wasn't he? He didn't stop it.
He was like, no, he did. Like, he remembered. He was like, no, he definitely was part of the gang. And I was like, really? And then so I had to look it up on Wikipedia. And I was like, I don't remember Guy. But, and then, yeah, he was. Ah. I was like, oh, he was.
It's true. It's true.
You just think it's true?
I think it's true. Okay. I think it's true.
All right. Well.
Come on, curtains. No one would freely admit to curtains.
I totally believe all of that. I'm just wondering if it's Guy Berryman. But I've got no reason to think that it's not true, really. It's just suspicion.
Mm. Say no, then.
The opposite.
No, I'm not doing it tactically.
There are no tactics.
I've got a reasonable level of... thinking about it, I have a reasonable level of suspicion. Enough to think that I think it could be a lie. I'm going to say it's a lie.
Okay.
Partly also because I'm always too trusting, right? I always think it's true. I think this one's a lie.
It's true.
All right, so don't tell us, Paul, if it's true or if it's a lie, because now the listeners have to decide. And listeners, you can go onto the page for this episode at teacherluke.co.
There'll be a poll.
There will be a poll, not a poll. We've done.
It's the third time now.
Third or fourth time.
That's one of my major jokes in my show.
But it links to a joke that Paul says that we've not told.
You know, when the Americans...
No, but you've already established that in previous episodes.
What, when the Americans are like, oh, your name's
Starbucks,
Paul.
You went to Starbucks,
yeah, okay.
And so you were like, hi, I'm Paul. And they were like, Paul? Paul? Yeah. Like, Paul
are you
dancer?
Now telling Paul's jokes?
I'm just...
Yeah, that's what...
I'm just reminding the audience that I'd already told Paul's jokes. Anyway, all right, sorry, I don't mean to stand on your jokes, Paul. Paul.
Yeah, good.
Listeners, you can go to the page, as I've already said. And what do you think? Do you think Paul is lying or is he telling the truth? Vote in the poll. About Paul. And we'll see. So there's Amber's story. There's my story. There's Paul's story. When we get back together again in we'll, 4 months' time.
We'll give you all the answers.
We'll actually give you the answers. And the person who...
The winner will be the person who's had the most amount of people...
Get it wrong.
That's right.
We should write down our things in case it's tight.
Okay.
Like what we've decided for each other. You know, in case it's equal and it's like, oh, you said it was true and false.
All right.
We'll figure it out. I'll find out.
I'll do that on the website.
Yeah.
Okay, then. I'm going to leave it on this dramatic cliffhanger where we don't know the results. We'll just say we'll come back again soon. So you guys, what's happening? What are you doing now?
I'm going to crèche pick up Hugo.
Okay, you're going to go and pick up Hugo?
In the rain.
Do you want an umbrella?
Yeah.
I'll give you an umbrella.
Thanks.
Paul?
I don't know. We've got a show in 3 hours, so...
Yeah.
I'm just going to hang out.
Unless you want to do something...
Not particularly.
Without me.
No, I think I'm going to go to the loo.
Okay.
You didn't need to know that. I think that's the first thing to do is to bring this episode to a close.
Yeah.
So that we can all carry on with our lives.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't do a bye-bye-bye for the previous episode.
Don't worry about it. I'll do it. Do you want to do one now?
Yeah.
I guess we should.
Okay, listeners, you know what to do. Vote true or lie. You decide. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
What's up, my people? My podcast people in the house. That's not actually the end of this episode because there's more stuff. So we're going to continue like this. So there you go. I look forward to reading your comments and also seeing what you think based on the results of the polls, which you will find on the page for this episode. This, I expect, is episode 343. If you ever wonder how to find the page for the episode, because I often say that, it's just find the page for the episode. If you ever wonder how to do that, I'm going to give you three ways you can find the page for the episode. Four ways, in fact. No, four. So, method number one, you go to teacherluke.co.uk. In the menu, you'll see it says all episodes. Put the mouse over that and you can click all episodes archive. Boom, there's a list of all the pages for every episode of the podcast. Second way is that on teacherluke.co.uk, on the right-hand side, just scroll down a little bit and you'll see it says recent podcast episodes. And there's a list of them, of probably the 5 or 10 most recent episodes. And you can just really easily find recent episodes there. Click on the right link. Boom, you found the page for the episode. Method number three is that you go to teacherluke.co.uk and you will find a little search bar. Where is the search bar? Again, it's on the right-hand side. Most of that useful stuff is either in the menu or on the right-hand side of the page. You'll find a little search bar, and just in the search bar, just type in the number of the episode you're looking for. So in this case, it's 343. Just type in 343, search, and you should find that you'll get a list of episodes that correspond to that number. And 343, episode 343 should be one of them. So that's the third method. And the fourth method would be that if you're using something like iTunes or maybe Audio Boom or another bit of software to catch these episodes of the podcast, in the information for the episode, like every episode is accompanied by about a paragraph of information from iTunes or Audio Boom. There should be a link in that information. You can just click the link and it'll take you to the page for the episode. All right. So, you know, go to the page for the episode, for this episode, and you will find polls there. Not polls. No, God, no, not that joke again. And then you can vote for what you think is actually going on. Are they lies? Are they the truth? Get involved in the poll and we'll see who finally wins. And make sure you vote for everyone, okay? Don't just vote for one person. Make sure you vote for everyone, and that way the scores should be more balanced. Okay. Right, so I hope you enjoyed listening to another episode of this podcast featuring Amber and Paul. See, it's always fun when they're on the podcast, and according to comments, it looks like you, the listeners, agree. In fact, people seem to feel that Amber, Paul, and I form quite a successful podcasting team. So naturally, we need a nickname or an acronym for the three of us. Because as you just noticed there, when I paused, you heard me go, right? That was me trying to think of a quick way of referring to the three of us. So we need a nickname or an acronym or something. You heard us mention a couple of ideas for acronyms or nicknames in one of the previous episodes, but we didn't decide on one. You heard us talking about things like PAL or PLA, things like that, acronyms. So I want you, the listeners, to help me to choose a good acronym or a nickname for the podcasting team of Amber, Paul and me. And here are some suggestions. All right, I'm going to read through a few suggestions, but ultimately I want you to give me your ideas. What do you think is the best nickname for the team of three of us? Okay, so first of all, we have acronyms. So obviously that's these are acronyms based on the first letters of our names. And basically the letters we're dealing with are A, P and L. Obviously A for Amber, P for Paul, L for Luke. So maybe PAL. PAL, that's quite good, isn't it? Because PAL is also a word, an informal word for a friend. Okay, like you've heard me say, my podcast pals, my podcast friends. So PAL is quite good because it means friend. Then there's APL, which is quite cool because APL, it's like Apple. Apple, APL. Then there's PLA, PLA, which doesn't really mean anything. And then, you know, LPA, which is LPA, which also doesn't mean anything. And then also there's ALP, which is ALP. But we don't live in the mountains. We don't live in the Alps or anything. So ALP is probably not appropriate. But, you know, let us know what you think. Feel free also to create another acronym, if you can think of one. Perhaps featuring the letters of our first names and our surnames too. So you've got A, P and L for Amber, Paul and Luke. But then also you've got M, T and T. M for Minogue, T for Taylor and T for Thompson. So then you've got APLMTT. But players of Scrabble will notice that there's just one vowel in there. That's A. And five consonants. That's PLMTT. Two of those consonants are T, which makes it quite hard to form a coherent word out of those letters. So good luck if you can find an acronym, a good acronym with APLMTT. Good luck. All right. But we have other options. We could go for a superhero name, like a superhero team name, like the Fantastic Four. I think a listener called Olga suggested something like this, the Fantastic Four. But obviously there aren't four of us most of the time. Sometimes we're joined by a fourth person, but most of the time it's just three. So what we need then is a superhero name that's got like the plus adjective plus a word for three things. Okay, so here are some ingredients. Here are some adjectives and words for three things. We're going to start with words for three things. Now, obviously, we've got three, you know, like the something three, the amazing three, or something like that. I mean, you might not agree that we're amazing. I'm not suggesting that amazing is the word. And anyway, it would work better if the adjective began with T or something, right? So the something three maybe. There's also the word trio, because trio is quite nice. That's a group of three people. Like it could be a group of three singers. That's a trio. So the something trio. Then also there's the word triptych. A triptych is a set of three works of art. Like, for example, three paintings that go together, or three pieces of music that go together. That's a triptych. But we're not technically works of art, are we? I mean, you might consider that we are, but I don't expect so. So triptych, trio, three. Triangle. Triangle, of course, is a geometric shape with three corners and three sides. You've got a tripod. A tripod is a sort of stand with three legs. For example, a camera tripod. Then there's tricycle, which is like a bicycle or a bike, but with three wheels. So that's a tricycle. There is the word Triforce, which sounds cool, especially if you are a fan of the Legend of Zelda computer games, because the Triforce is the golden triangle made from three other golden triangles arranged together. And it comes from Nintendo's Legend of Zelda series of video games. And the Triforce is referred to as the Golden Power in ancient Hylian literature. Hylian or Hyrulean? I think it's Hyrulean literature, isn't it? And in the computer game, it is an omnipotent sacred relic, the Triforce, which represents the essence of the golden goddesses who created the realm of Hyrule, which is where The Legend of Zelda takes place. And the Triforce also is a symbol which appears in Japanese history, I think, as an icon representing an old Japanese family. So anyway, that's the Triforce for Legend of Zelda fans. Other words, you could have a trident. Trident. Now, that, as well as being a brand of chewing gum, a trident is also a three-pronged spear carried by Poseidon, the god of the sea. You know Poseidon, the god of the sea? He's like a Greek god. I think he's a Greek god of the ocean. And he's got like a trident. I wonder if Aquaman, you know the superhero, the DC Comics superhero Aquaman, does he carry a trident? He might carry a trident as well. Because I think there's going to be an Aquaman movie coming out in the cinemas fairly soon. So we'll probably associate the trident with him. But anyway, Poseidon, the god of the ocean, carries a trident, you know, like a three-pronged spear, which I suppose he uses to catch fish or something. I'm not sure. I'm not that familiar with the work of, what's his name, Poseidon. But also, Britannia carries a trident as well. Britannia is the female personification of Great Britain. You see Britannia, for example, on the 50p coin. So they both carry tridents. Also, Trident is the name of the UK's nuclear weapons system, which is based in Scotland. It's like a submarine-based nuclear weapons defence system, Trident. And the name of a chewing gum. And then there's just the word team, which is it's not a word for three things, but it does begin with T. Okay, so there we go. That's like different words beginning with T. Now let's have a look at some adjectives that begin with T. Now these are adjectives that begin with T, but not a th sound. Because if you're going to use three, you need an adjective that also has a th sound. So we'll look at some th adjectives in a moment. But these adjectives all begin with T, but they don't have a th sound. So we've got the word terrific, which means great or big or very good. That's terrific. Triumphant, which means victorious or having won in battle. Like if you're triumphant, it means that you've had a triumph. You're victorious, maybe in a battle. Talkative, which is quite appropriate because if you're talkative, it just means you talk a lot. So what, you could have the talkative trio, the talkative three. Tantalizing. Tantalizing. Now, that means having or exhibiting something that provokes or arouses expectation, interest, or desire, especially something which remains unobtainable or beyond someone's reach. Tantalizing. Let me give you an example of tantalizing. You might say, and this is from the Cambridge Dictionary website, they say that something that's tantalizing causes desire and excitement in you, something you really want, but maybe you can't get it. So, for example, imagine you're traveling somewhere in a hot place and it's very hot and dry and you'd love a refreshing swim in the sea or something, but you're on a train and sometimes you get a little glance, you can get a little glimpse of the train through the window. You get a little glimpse of the sea. You don't get a glimpse of the train, you're in the train. But through the window, sometimes you get a little glimpse of the sea between the trees. And, I'd love to go swimming in the sea. It's so hot and dry. Okay, you could say, I caught a tantalizing glimpse of the sparkling blue sea through the trees. So maybe you might consider that somehow we are tantalizing. Maybe if you would really love to either have access to us. This sounds a bit stalkery, doesn't it? It sounds a bit weird. Or maybe you'd love to have Amber's voice or something. Oh, I'd love to have a voice like Amber's, but it seems so out of reach. Maybe you can consider that to be tantalizing. Here's another one, the word tangential. Tangential. And this is quite good because If something is tangential, it means it tends to go off on tangents. It's the tendency to get diverted, to kind of go off on tangents, which is quite appropriate, isn't it? Because when we get together, we do go off on different tangents when we're talking. We do get diverted by little different things. So we are quite tangential. The tangential trio, the tangential team, the tangential three, maybe. Maybe that's a superhero team name. Tasteful, there's another one. It means having good taste. Talented, you might consider that we're talented. Or talentless is the opposite, having talent or not having talent. Tactical, which means having tactics or being good at strategy. That might not be the case in Paul's in the case of Paul Taylor, because he's known for being the opposite of tactical, whatever that is. Untactical? Do we say untactical? Well, according to, let's see, which service is this? According to the internet, according to Google, an antonym of tactical is unwise or spontaneous. Okay, so someone who just makes sort of spontaneous decisions is not very tactical. Anyway, tactical, there's another word beginning with T. Tasty as well. Tasty is an adjective beginning with T, and obviously that means delicious. So just a few suggestions there. Here are some adjectives beginning with TR. Tr. And these ones go quite nicely with the word trio, right? So you could have trustworthy, which obviously means you can trust us. But, I mean, based on these lying games, maybe we're not that trustworthy, depending on how often we lie in these games. But anyway, trustworthy. The opposite of that is untrustworthy. Tranquil. Tranquil, which means peaceful, calm, or silent, full of tranquility. So that's tranquil. Transcribed, which may be appropriate if our words have been transcribed, perhaps part of as part of the transcript collaboration. So the transcribed trio. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue very easily, does it? But anyway, the next one is trend setting. Trend setting. Now, if you're trend setting, it means that you set trends or create trends. You're kind of a trend setter. You create fashions. Trend setting. I'm not sure we're that trendy, to be honest. Truthful, which means honest or telling the truth, which again might not be appropriate depending on the level of honesty going on in this episode or these games that we play. But anyway, truthful, the truthful trio, the untruthful trio. Trivial, which just means not very important. Not very important, just sort of just trivial. The trivial trio. I hope you don't think we're completely trivial, but it's up to you, really. Trilateral. Trilateral means involving three sides or groups, like a trilateral trade agreement between three nations, you know, trilateral agreement or a trilateral decision. So trilateral means involving three sides or three groups. Transcendent, which means higher or better than other things, rising to a new level, perhaps even surpassing normal states and going up into a higher plane. And we think of, you know, transcendent as things like in terms of meditation, you kind of get transcendent, don't you? You try and transcend your normal level of consciousness. So the transcendent trio, maybe. You could combine the adjectives. The trustworthy transcendent trio or the trivial, I don't know, the tragic trivial trio. I don't know. It's up to you. I want you to let me know what you think is the best name. We have tremendous as well, which means a large amount or simply very, very good. So the tremendous trio. And then we have tragicomical. Tragicomical. So we know what comical means. It's like comedic, comical. And tragic is the opposite of comical. And then you can mix the two. You end up with tragicomical, which is something that's both sad and funny at the same time. All right. Then let's have some adjectives that begin with TH, so th. And these ones go quite nicely with the word three. And so we have words like thorough, which is spelled T-H-O-R-O-U-G-H. Crazy spelling. T-H-O-R-O-U-G-H, thorough. And that means detailed and careful. going through something in great detail and covering it fully and carefully. Thorough. So you might have a thorough analysis of some of a grammar point, for example. Thorough. The thorough three. Thoughtful, meaning thinking a lot, particularly about other people. The thoughtful three. Therapeutic means that you, if something is therapeutic, it brings therapy to someone. Okay, like you might have a therapeutic massage, for example, or therapeutic music. The therapeutic three. Thrilling means exciting. Thunderous means very loud, like thunder. And then thick-headed just means stupid. So the thick-headed three. I hope you don't consider us to be completely stupid. Stupid enough to deserve the name the thick-headed three. I wonder if you can say that, ladies and gents, because th sounds are quite difficult, aren't they? Because you have to stick your tongue out. Just the tip of your tongue goes beyond the front of your, you know, it just goes beyond your two front teeth. Just stick your tongue, just the tip of your tongue goes out beyond your the top row of your teeth. So th. Try not to go s or z. It's actually th. So the tip of the tongue sticks out just over the top row of teeth. Th. Th. Thorough, thoughtful, therapeutic, thrilling, thunderous, and thick-headed. Okay, can you do that? The thorough three. The thorough three. The thoughtful three. The thoughtful three. The therapeutic three. The thrilling three. The thrilling three. And the thunderous three. Which is quite good, isn't it, that one? And the thick-headed three. I hope you don't choose that one. All right. Then also, there are other little names, like just the expression triple trouble. Did I pronounce that correctly? Let me try that again. Triple trouble. Triple trouble. So that's, you know, when something comes in a group of three and it's like troublesome. Triple trouble. Okay. And then you've got the Three Musketeers, which I think Antonio, a Lepster called Antonio, suggested that one, the Three Musketeers. Other things like the Pod Pals. Pod Pals. Because we had Pal before, Paul, Amber and Luke, Pal. So the Pod Pals or the Podcast Pals, or maybe something else. So if you can think of something else, let me know, let us know. And again, go to the page for this episode. You'll find polls for the Lying Game, the interactive Lying Game. Also, I'm going to stick a poll up there for a good acronym or name of your choice, and you can just sort of choose the selection that I give you there. But also, leave your comments on the page for this episode with your suggestions for not only nicknames for the podcast team that we have going on here, the three of us, but also I want to hear you sort of flesh out and justify your decisions about our statements. Do you think they're lies or are they the truth? And explain why. So give your answer in the polls, but also in the comments section, you can just explain why. Expand on your reasons, justify them. Okay, it'll be a good chance to just, you know, practice a little bit of English there. Okay, right. So that's the end of this episode. I'll speak to you again soon in some format. I look forward to reading your comments and looking at the poll results. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Actually, that's not the end of the episode, because it's been a while since I sang a song for you. So if you don't like those moments where I get the guitar out and sing a song, then stop listening now, all right? Because that's exactly what I'm about to do. I'm about to attempt to sing a song for you. And I picked one that I think is just appropriate considering the stuff that's happened regarding the number three in this episode. So I'm going to sing a track called Three is a Magic Number. And it's by a bloke called Bob Duro. A lovely song. Please forgive my amateur level guitar playing. But I hope that you enjoy the lyrics. And here it is. Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity, you get 3 as a magic number. The past and the present and the future, faith and hope and charity, the heart and the brain and the body give you 3, and that's a magic number. It takes 3 legs to make a tripod or to make a table stand. It takes 3 wheels to make a vehicle called a tricycle. Every triangle has 3 corners. Every triangle has 3 sides, and no more, no less. You don't have to guess. When it's 3, you can see it's a magic number. A man and a woman had a little baby. Yes, they did. They had 3 in the family. And that's a magic number. Six, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30. Three times 10 is, whoops. 3 times 10 is 30. 3 times 10, oh, come on, Luke, get your maths right. 3 times 10 is 30. 3 times 9 is 27. 3 times 8 is 24. 3 times 7 is 21. 3 times 6 is 18. 3 times 5 is 15. 3 times 4 is 12. And 3 times 3 is 9. And 3 times 2 is 6. And 3 times 1 is 3, of course. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, whoops, 21, 24, 27, 30. Times 10 is 30. 3 times 9 is 27. 3 times 8 is 24. 3 times 7 is 21. 3 times 6 is 18. 3 times 5 is 15. 3 times 4 is 12. And 3 times 3 is 9. And 3 times 2 is 6. And 3 times 1, what is it? 3. Yeah, that's a magic number. A man and a woman had a little baby. Yes, they did. There were 3 in the family. And that's a magic number.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.